running. Head out on the highway.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Great long touch from Kyoto. He's got Minotas. Minotas to get his second, and he does off the post. The Dynamo crush him on the counterattack.
Oh, I'm just listening to Step On. This could be the greatest rock anthem of all time. It's possible. If anybody's got a thought about that, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. All right, earlier today I caught up with former Dynamo striker Brian Ching. We're talking about the Champions League, the Heineken Champions League final party, which will be at the Warehouse Live on Saturday, June 3rd, between Juventus and Real Madrid. As we roll on, and as everybody saw today, Real Madrid have booked their place in the Champions League final to take on Juventus. Atletico Madrid making it interesting today, scoring twice in the first 16 minutes, but right before halftime, it was a goal from Isco, which, well, if you go back and look at the way that Atletico Madrid defended this on the end line, you would say, what a tough body blow that was to take after they had staked out the two early goals at home in front of a crazy crowd. Anyway, this is the Champions League. The final will be Real Madrid taking on Juventus and Gianluigi Buffon. Here in Houston, there's a Heineken Champions League final party. It's at the Warehouse Live, which is down on St. Emmanuel near the stadium. And the host of that party is Brian Ching. He's going to join us now. Brian, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Glenn.
Yeah, good. We're going to talk about your event first. June 3rd. This is at Warehouse Live. You got Steve Nichol, who won the European Cup with Liverpool, coming in. It sounds like it's going to be a great day down there, and there's a lot of people very interested in going to this.
Yeah, it should be a fun event. You know, this is arguably probably the biggest game of the year, you know, without it being World Cup, European Championships, you know. So I think from a soccer standpoint, this is kind of a huge celebration and a game that you know, really looking forward to. You know, I think you got two great teams. You know, obviously one, the superstars of Real Madrid, and then Juve, you know, who's kind of, I wouldn't say snuck under the radar, but, you know, maybe not a team people picked to go as far as the tournament started. So I'm excited about it. You know, please come on out. It'll be a fun time. Like I said, we partnered with Heineken, partnered with Pepsi. We got a number of other great sponsors on the event, and it's going to be the place to be.
UEFA Champions League final. It's the Heineken Champions League final party. It's June 3rd again. That's the date of the final. Doors are going to open at 12 o'clock. Obviously, the game's on in the afternoon, I think around 1:45. You can get your tickets at ticketfly.com. And again, it's at Warehouse Live, 813 St. Emmanuel Street. And Steve Nichol's going to be there, who won it with Liverpool. So you'll be in the company of some big-timers. And I know a lot of local players, myself, we're all going to pop over there and be a part of it. It's fun watching the Champions League with a group of people as well.
Yeah, we're going to have live music, you know, a DJ come in to provide the party atmosphere. You know, if you purchase tickets, your first two beers, two Heinekens are free. And so you know, it's going to be a festive atmosphere. We're going to have an English broadcast room and a Spanish broadcast room, and then a VIP lounge as well. So it'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. So come on out. Check it out, warehouselive.com to get some tickets.
Yeah, ticketfly.com as well. All right, so let's change direction here a little bit. Let's talk about the Dynamo, because this version of the Dynamo playing very different than any version of the Dynamo ever has, with a three-striker system and a three-pronged attack. And you, as a guy who was such a staple for the Dynamo in the championship years as a target man and as a center forward in a 4-4-2, I'm just kind of wondering what you think of the 4-3-3 and how do you like it?
Well, I'm excited. I mean, you definitely have to be excited if you come to a home game this year. I mean, I did the math, and they're averaging almost three goals a game at home this season. So, you know, they're an extremely confident team, extremely young attacking team, a team that, you know, is out to entertain fans. And they've done that so far this season. And, you know, it's extremely exciting, no matter who they put out there up front. You know, I mean, that's one of the things. There's a lot of competition for spots. You know, you got Manotas, who's playing well. You had Kubo, who started off the season extremely well. You got Ellis, and you got Kyoto out there. I mean, that's excitement. You know, if you've seen the last few games, I mean, they're definitely creating a number of opportunities at home, and it's an offense that, you know, I wish I could have been a part of these days. But you know, so I'm extremely excited about the way they're going forward, and definitely want to see them to kind of take that confidence and take it with them on the road. You know, I know this week, you know, I definitely promise you a few goals in the Vancouver game here on Friday.
Yeah, and it's been much needed because the entertainment value's up, and I get the sense that when people are leaving the stadium, you know, it's exciting. They're seeing goals. They're seeing guys take people on. It's something that really hasn't occurred for quite some time, and I think people are latching their arms around that. What is it you think on the road, Brian, that is a little bit of the barrier to them recreating that form? Is it mental? Look, we all know how difficult the road is in Major League Soccer. That goes without saying. But what do you think is the barrier that has prevented them from taking that confidence and aggression that we see at home on the road?
Yeah, it's a young team, you know, a team that's still growing in confidence and you know, ability. And I think that, you know, a lot of it is mental, you know, and I think if you ask the guys, they'll go out there and they'll tell you the same thing. You know, it's winning at this level, especially on the road, there's such minor things, you know. It's just a matter of thinking negatively in the game and at the wrong times. And then, you know, the other teams obviously all take confidence of playing at home, and they kind of lift their game and they kind of pounce on those little differences, you know. And I think that it's going to be a challenge for this team, and I always thought it was going to be a challenge for this team on the road to get points, you know. But you know, like I said, it's still early in the season. You know, I think they've learned lessons from the first couple of games and kind of responded a little bit in that last Toronto game where you know, even though the game was, you know, 2-0, they still came out and performed better in the second half. So, you know, it's a matter of putting a full game together on the road. It's, you know, you can't have one good half and one bad half like they've been having, you know, obviously with the Portland game, one good half, one bad half in the second half, and then Toronto game, you know, same type of thing. So, you know, it's a matter of concentrating for 90 minutes and then having those few players that really kind of stand up. You know, it needs to be more than just one or two guys on the road. It needs to be about five or six guys that really say, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to do what it takes. And sometimes it's not pretty. You know, I think back in our days when we won the championships, I think, you know, it was all about getting results on the road, and that was the mentality. You know, it wasn't like, okay, we're going to play pretty soccer, we're going to score a lot of goals. It's like, no, we're going to come out here and we're going to get a result and do what it takes. And I think, you know, this team is slowly learning that. You know, I'd like to see some progression over the next few away games, because we're going to have a difficult stretch, you know. And I think this next stretch of away games is going to be really telling on where we'll end up at the end of the season. And so, you know, I think if they could take the grow off of the first, you know, three games away, that, you know, there's an opportunity there for them to really, you know, make a strong push for the playoffs.
Now, tell me what you mean by not pretty, because they haven't been pretty on the road. They tried the 4-4-2 out in New England. You know, it was a bit of self-inflicted mistakes there. They kept the game close, and I think that's kind of what you mean, team shape. But as you said, in the second half, when they went back to the 4-3-3 and brought on an additional striker because they were behind, they did take the game over pressure-wise. So do you think it's live or die by the 4-3-3 on the road, or what do you think it is?
Yeah, it's tough for me to say and second guess, but for, you know, I'd like to see them to take the same approach that they do at home, you know, and say, hey, look, we're a young team, we're an exciting team, and we're going to do that. We're going to do what we do at home, and we're going to take that same approach, even if it's on the road, you know, and we're going to attack, possess the ball, keep the ball, and make it and put the pressure on you. And then, you know, if it's 0-0 or 1-0 or, you know, where we're winning, then I think later on, late in games, then you have to defend, you know, and sometimes absorb that pressure while keeping, you know, and then when you get the ball, keep possession. But, you know, it's a full 11 mentality to get behind the ball and make things difficult, not give other teams space, and, you know, foul when you have to foul and make the game ugly if you have to get a result, because, you know, you can't let other teams gain confidence, you know, and give them space on the ball, especially at home.
Well, let's remind you, Brian is hosting the Heineken's Champion League final party. It is at Warehouse Live, 813 St. Emmanuel Street, down near the stadium. Going to be a DJ there. You buy a ticket, you get two Heineken beverages. There's also Pepsi brand soft drinks. Going to be a fun time. A lot of people down there. Juventus, Real Madrid, 18 and over. Tickets are $25, $50, $100 for the VIP. Ticketfly.com and also warehouselive.com. Is that right, Brian?
Yep.
Warehouselive.com, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and you can also meet the Liverpool legend, Steve Nichol, who will be there, who won the European Cup playing for Liverpool. Brian, great stuff. Look forward to having you on again. Looking forward to the Champions League party. And let's get you on real soon, and let's begin to break down Juventus and Real Madrid.
I appreciate it, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Brian Ching. Again, the Heineken Champions League final party, Saturday, June 3rd. Doors are going to open at 12, shows at 1:45. You get your tickets at ticketfly.com. It's at Warehouse Live, 813 St. Emmanuel Street. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be fun. We'll take a break. We got more to come. Best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we welcome you back to the show. Joining me in studio, Eddie Robinson. We'll get to Eddie in a second. We're going to have a nice 45 minutes with him. We're going to have an interview with Carl Robinson. Before we do, I want to remind you, soccer fans, the Real Soccer Pub in Edo is the Kings Court, right next to the stadium. It's at 903 Hutchins, 13 TVs at Kings Court. El Bate owns there pre- and post-game. It is party time at Kings Court. It's lots of fun. We go over there. Well, I think my partner, Eddie Robinson, is headed over there pregame for meals sometimes, knowing him. They have 24 taps, a full bar, great selection of spirits, and great pub food. Kings Court, kingscourttx.com. Now it's a little time for something from Bud Light called Game On for 90.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
Presented by Bud Light. Game on.
All right, so Friday night we're going to celebrate the five-year anniversary of the opening of BBVA Compass Stadium. Now, that will certainly be a wonderful birthday party. But I want to reflect on how we got to the point and who helped us get to the point of having a stadium built with soccer in mind. Remember, it's an awful lot of people. Let's first go back to all of those who lobbied for the return of professional soccer in Houston. All those who were playing, coaching, on the administrative side, and all those who love the sport. To all those on prior pro teams that slugged it out in the tough years, remained in the community, coached, promoted, and moved the sport forward. To all those who promoted and brought high-level games to Houston. Remember, in the early 2000s, U.S.-Mexico. That sent a signal to the entire country about Houston as a soccer market. It took us to the next level, and that was with the vision of Jamie Roots. What about Harris County Sports Authority head Oliver Luck? He was in all the time on bringing soccer here. Without all of you at all the levels of the sport in Houston, relocating the San Jose Earthquakes to this city and gaining a return of professional soccer would never have occurred. So we proved the interest was here, and that is we, everyone involved. Now, the Dynamo of 2006 and 2007 delivered. They delivered on the curtain raiser. You won't ever forget it. They delivered by playing entertaining, exciting soccer at Robertson Stadium. Not to mention winning dramatically two back-to-back MLS Cups, helping to brand the team and the return of the pro game. Now, without the excitement and energy around the team and the success of Dominic Kinnear and his men in those early years, who knows what could have happened in the whole chronological world of getting a stadium built. There's no doubt that it helped to push it forward. To those men on those teams and their manager, a big salute. Enter politics and politicians. Many grabbed a shovel for the photo ops. Many were definitely behind it for the right reasons as well. Others, well, I think I'm going to bite my tongue right now. One man that never gets mentioned and needs to be mentioned is this name, Andy Icken, who was the chief development officer of the city of Houston. My understanding, without him, it would never have gotten done. So let's reflect. This was a stadium built by the passion of a sport, the passion of a city, the people involved in the game, the investment of an ownership group. I still remember the fans led by Eric Nordstrom and others meeting on the site where the stadium ultimately would be built. Fans that showed up at city council meetings. Reflect. Reflect on how people coming together for passion of a sport helped to get this stadium built. Now, the next task is to get it filled more often. Game On for 90, brought to you by Bud Light. I got in under the wire there, Tyler Scott.
You're so good with that.
It's amazing how I can pull that off. All right, let's welcome in a good friend, television partner on theCUBE, analyst for a number of years now, and former MLS All-Star defender for the Houston Dynamo, Eddie Robinson. Welcome in, Eddie.
Glenn, it is always an honor to be here.
All right, we're going to have some fun in here. I'm glad you're in here. It always makes me smile when I see you come in because the first thing you tell me about is what you had for dinner. You know, it's kind of like calling my dad these days. I get a weather report right away, and from you I get, you know, hey, here's what I cooked tonight. So why don't you tell our whole audience what you cooked tonight?
Did a little Chilean sea bass, a little fettuccine, and a nice salad. It was quite outstanding.
Yeah, you know what the real name for the Chilean sea bass is?
Glorious fish covered in butter. That's what I go with.
Patagonian toothfish.
Oh, okay.
Patagonian toothfish.
I like that too.
713-780-3776. For those of you who I didn't get to the phone calls tonight, and I know you might have dropped, you can call back. We'll get you on the air. 713-780-3776. All right, let's go back to Orlando City. 4-0. Mm-hmm. Great entertainment, great goals, and it was in Orlando City on their third game in 8 days.
It was, and I just don't understand what Orlando City was doing. They played right into Houston's hands. Send your outside backs, send all of your attackers, send all of your midfielders, and leave two or three defenders. Oh, that's a great idea to play against the Houston Dynamo at BBVA Compass Stadium, a team that leaves at least three forwards and an attacker, and this night it was Alex Lima, forward and counterattacks. They destroyed Orlando, and it was, obviously it was fun to watch, but we all know that Jason Christ has been around this league for a long time, and he's very smart, he's a very intelligent coach, but did he tell his players about this and they didn't listen, or did they just not watch video? I mean, it was unbelievable that Orlando left themselves so vulnerable.
Now, if I look at this, and this is very easy to do, to go back and look at things, Eddie. And
of course.
We can say if Minotas makes the penalty, who knows, it might be 4-0 at halftime. We can also say, once he missed the penalty, if Joe Bendick, who was the MLS Player of the Month, who has been so outstanding,
saves
the first two goals, though, which I think were savable, you could be 0-0 going into the 60th minute.
100%,
I don't think you're going to win anyway.
100%, but it doesn't seem to me like any of that changed the way that Orlando came out in the second half. They weren't playing any differently. It didn't seem like they were just, okay, if I'm playing three games, I've flown from Orlando to Toronto to Houston. I mean, that's a little over 5,000 miles, I believe, round trip in 4 days.
Fact check.
Well, go ahead and do it. It's up there somewhere. It's up there around 5,000 miles. And
you always like going with the miles. I like that.
But why would you not just, okay, say at this point, if I'm Jason Christ, I'm going to go for a point. I'm going to sit back like New England did against the Houston Dynamo and try to
I'm stopping you there.
Do it.
At sitting back, because this is what I think. I think the Dynamo need to stick with this 4-3-3. And
no,
I'll tell you why.
Question.
Because I think it just gives all kinds of matchup problems and tactical problems and questions to the minds of managers. How do you play against this team? Okay, yeah, they might cheat a little defensively. Still, how do you play? How do we avoid getting into a chaotic up-and-down game which will favor the Dynamo? So I think if anybody's coming in here, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and they're saying, we're going to just sit back the whole game, I think you're going to end up losing, because inviting that kind of pressure for a full 90 minutes, the Dynamo are ultimately going to hurt you.
Well,
I think it's got to be a balance.
The Dynamo will hurt you on the counterattack. I'm going to go back to that New England game. When you sit back and you ask the Dynamo, hey, can you use possession and can you be creative?
In the 4-4-2, though.
Six guys behind the ball.
In the 4-4-2.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But against anyone, can the Dynamo be creative? Because we go back to the beginning of the season with Wilmer Cabrera. He says, this is who we are. This is what we're going to do. So now you ask teams, hey, challenge him on that. Can they do that? Because this is what he said. He said, we're going to go 4-3-3. We're going to come at you. We're going to counterattack. So if you don't allow them that opportunity, what do they do? Who do they rely on? How do they play? Obviously, Alex Lima has been outstanding over these last couple weeks, but I mean, if we just go back to this last game against Orlando, Orlando sent both outside backs and left their center backs 1v1, left it 2v2, 3v2 in favor of the Dynamo attackers and the counterattacks. We saw the first time ball that Alex Lima played, Marmanotis to Ramel Kyoto, and what they were able to accomplish with this counterattack. If you take that away from the Dynamo, what can they do to you?
Well, that's what you're saying. So you're saying that opponents should come in, defend deep, play for the counterattack. Now, what if you don't have a striker with pace? You still play with a counterattack.
Don't need it. Don't need it. Can you?
Do you not think the Dynamo can break down a deeper defending team?
I don't. I haven't seen it yet. I challenge anyone to tell me when the Dynamo have done that. Not a lot of teams have done it.
New York came in very open, got beat 4-1.
Right. Minnesota. Minnesota at first.
Minnesota hurt the Dynamo on the counter.
But then later, Minnesota decided, you know what? We're going to sit back, break us down. Minnesota got their goals on, was it a set piece with Christian Ramirez? And God, I have the worst memory ever. Too many head injuries.
But the Dynamo were up 2-0 at halftime in that game.
Correct. But then this was a team that was like, okay, wait, let's sit back. Let's make the Dynamo.
Even though they were up 2-0, though, in the first half, Ramirez got behind him a couple of times.
Oh my goodness. It was ridiculous, and that's the one thing. But you got to remember that Leonardo just came back. A.J. De La Garza just came back. And now, a couple of games in a row, Wilmer Cabrera has been able to select his first choice back four for the first time in a few weeks. And that, I think, is key for the Dynamo. If these guys stay healthy, they're going to continue to get clean sheets. They're going to continue to be difficult to score on. We know what this offense is capable of. I think the Dynamo...
Hold that thought. We got to get on to a break. Let me just give a shout-out to the Gorgeous Gale. You want an Irish pub in an Irish field, the Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Soccer fans, head over to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside. Liverpool supporters groups over there. Catch all the best soccer and football matches. Stop in for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offering. Say hello to my good friend Peter over there. Open field, lots of monitors, outdoor patio. Gorgeous Gale is the place to be. It's thegorgeousgale.com. Right now, caller number one, you are going to get a pair of tickets to the Heineken Champions League final party at the Warehouse Live. Caller number five, you're going to get a pair of tickets to the Heineken's Champions League final party at Warehouse Live. So caller number one and five at 713-780-3776. These tickets, $20, $25 value, I think.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Gotta let this play a little bit. The band's super heavy. It's like Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics. Mick Jagger was in this band. One of the Marleys. Avi Rachman. And I think I'm gonna segue into a music show. I think I got enough game.
It's making me move, Glenn.
I got enough game. I could bring a young guy in to do the sort of the R&B stuff. I like a real voice. See, there's Jagger.
I got you on the heavy metal.
Yeah. I got Tyler to do all the heavy metal. We're going to Nirvana, right? You're going? I'm going. Are you going to Nirvana?
Nirvana?
Not Nirvana. They're dead. No. Cobain's dead. Rest in peace, Kurt. No, not Nirvana. We're going to Metallica.
Metallica's yes,
coming up.
Yes.
See, that's why radio's great. When you screw up, it's just, I love Nirvana. I never got to see them, though. I would have liked to have seen them. That was sad. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Let me go to the phone real quick. Justin's got a quick update here on the Houston Dutch Lions, who are playing, I think, in the Open Cup. Justin?
Yes, sir. So right now we're sitting in the 69th minute. The Houston Dutch Lions are sitting 2-1 over the North Texas Riados. If they win, they will face San Antonio FC. I'm not sure the date exactly, but it'll definitely be a tough test for them since San Antonio sits for five. Correct on top of the table in the USL.
Well, that's the beauty of this is the Open Cup, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the Open Cup. Then they get a shot at San Antonio FC, who's doing so well in the USL. Justin, do you have a best of the Dutch Lions out there? Do you have anything on the Dynamo you want to talk about?
The speed on this team that they had this past weekend. And you know, me and my friend were discussing, and it's mind-boggling how we have this team that plays at home as well as they do and how it does not translate well on the road. It's mind-boggling. You know, we come out against the best team in the Eastern Conference at that time and score goals at will. I don't get how it's so hard on the road to even just get a draw.
Yeah, that's always a good question.
I know we've been experimenting with formations. But I
think the road is tough, but there are teams that are winning on the road. There's a number of teams that have won two games. For me, I'm going to say it's attitude. I'm going to say go on the road with the 4-3-3. Start off aggressive. Start off hungry, out of the system. You've played your best soccer. That's what I would do. And then you figure it out from there. Eddie?
Well, Justin, let's go back to the game away at Portland. Houston Dynamo, the only game
I like
on
that
the road.
First half.
The only game on the road in that first half, they went 4-3-3, and they went into halftime up. I believe it was 2-1, and then they sat back against it. And that's the only game on the road. That I played a lot of road games, fortunately for them in the standings, but that was the only time. So now this is a situation for me. Well, Wilmer Cabrera, your 4-3-3 is your best option. It is easier to fix defensive mistakes in the 4-3-3 than it is to fix your attacking options in a 4-4-2. I look at it, and again, I said to Glenn earlier, I've said to Glenn on the weekend, that now that AJ De La Garza and Leonardo are back, and Wilmer Cabrera has his first choice back four, if these guys continue to get minutes together and build that chemistry, regardless of who's behind them, whether it's Joe Willis, whether it's Tyler Derrick, I think this defense is going to be good as long as Wilmer Cabrera allows this 4-3-3. Allows his three attackers, whoever it is, whether it's Minotas, whether it's Kubo Torres, whoever's on the wing, and Alex Lima, their freedom, I think this Dynamo team has got a really good shot at not just the playoffs, but going far into it.
All right, so let's just look at this.
Hold on, Justin, hang on
before you go, because I want to just add to this. Out of the 22 teams in the league, there's still seven teams that haven't won a road game. There are a number of teams. Toronto has three wins. New York is 2-2. Atlanta has two road wins. FC Dallas is 2-0-2 undefeated. That's pretty unbelievable. We got to find out what they're doing up there. Portland is 2-2-1. Vancouver has won twice, coming in looking for a third consecutive. So there have been a lot of struggles, but the Dynamo have played fewer road games than most teams at three, and they are going to have to figure it out. The flip side of this is, at least we're in the position where they're dominant at home, which they haven't been for many, many years. So I think we got to be careful what we wish for, and let's see what happens in the next couple of road games, because they will ultimately have to get points. Now it's you.
Yes. Who would you start, given the success that Minotas had, you know, on Saturday, and Kubo being, you know, not clearing the concussion protocol? Who do you start this Friday?
Hands down, Mauro Minotas. Kubo Torres apparently is going to be available. For me, it's hands down. I don't switch out any of those three strikers right now.
Listen, Glenn and I had an extremely intense conversation about this on the phone the other night, and I said to him, I said, look, with Kubo,
we got intense.
We did on the phone, you and I. We love each other. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we're best friends, but you got a guy in Kubo Torres who had lost his confidence. He had lost his way. It was restored. Now he gets injured. He has the concussion issue. If you sit him, does that affect his confidence? He's the leading scorer in the league. I mean, it's certainly something that you can argue. I think there's a lot of merits to leaving Minotas, leaving the front three that demolished Orlando City. But I think there's also merits to taking Minotas out and putting Eric Torres, who is the leading scorer in all of Major League Soccer, back in, give him an opportunity.
But wait, you're talking about confidence, and you're saying, I don't want to take Kubo out because of confidence. Now you're going to take a guy out who needed confidence as well. And by the way, and just for everybody's understanding here, Kubo did not play because of concussion protocol. We didn't know that at the time when we were arguing.
I don't think Mauro is as mentally fragile as Eric is. Mauro Minotas showed that he sat for most of last season, finally got his chance the last eight games, scored six goals. Every time he's gotten a chance this year, whether it's been starting, whether it's been as a substitute, he's been excellent. Eric Torres, it's taken some time for him. He had to be given the confidence. So I think this is where you don't call Wilmer Cabrera a coach. You call him a manager. He has to manage the egos, the attitudes, the personalities of the players, and whatever he chooses on the weekend, I won't be upset about, but I think there's arguments either way.
Champagne problem, Justin. Who would you start real quick, and then we got to move it on?
I'd probably start Minotas. Also, in the 75th minute, the Lions are still up 2-1, so just support your local soccer, and I'll go ahead and let you go.
Thanks to the Houston Dutch Lions. What's their website address? HoustonDutchLions.com?
HoustonDutchLionsNPSL.com.
Okay, I was close. HoustonDutchLionsNPSL.com. Best of luck to the Dutch Lions,
yes,
and thank you very much for calling in, Justin, and giving us the update.
No problem.
Okay.
Anytime.
All right, so Tyler, do we have time here to get a little Carl Robinson chat in?
Or do we want to do that segment? If you want,
okay,
to
we can
now.
Do that next segment. How much time do we have in this one?
A
couple
not
minutes.
Much,
not
you
much.
Just throw it a break.
All right.
Can...
So Vancouver comes in, Eddie, and. We saw them win road games in two very different ways. The last one, they had to come from behind and attacked more against Montreal to get the 2-1 win. We saw them in a very different way against Colorado, hung in there, defended a little bit deeper, and then brought on the young Alfonso Davies, who's sick, is a 16-year-old kid. He's unbelievable.
Goodness.
And Breck Shea out wide, and they got the lone goal through Breck Shea on the counter.
This is the reason that Vancouver scares me versus any team that's come to BBVA this year. Freddie Montero, anybody that doesn't know that name, if you're new to Major League Soccer, go back a few years and look up Freddie Montero when he was with the Seattle Sounders. This guy, he's one of those players, he's like a Chris Wondolowski. He gets in situations, he puts himself in situations where his team could be completely dominated, and he gets a goal, and his team wins 1-0. This is what the Dynamo have to worry about. I mean, you know, forget about Mateus Laba and guys like that. Shannon Williams, one of my favorite Dynamo transfers over the last few years, when he came into Houston, I thought he was the best player on the team for a good month, 2 month stretch.
In the beginning,
this is a team that the Dynamo can't take.
He's going to try to get forward, and he actually was a part down the right side of the comeback against Montreal, the 2-1 win. We got to take a break. We'll come back more. Eddie Robinson, Here's my quote of the day on Soccer Matters. This is from Atletico captain Gabi, who, by the way, Atletico's out, but he was quoted as saying when there was all this back and forth with Real Madrid, "Where you were born or brought up has nothing to do with the humility that you have." Middlesbrough was relegated after one season in the Premier League. Chelsea is one win away from it. There is still a fight for Champions League places. We might talk a little bit about that. We're going to play a little Carl Robinson interview when we come back. Vancouver, this guy's very, very interesting, their manager. And right now, I'll give you a pair of tickets. Third caller at 713-780-3776. Dynamo Vancouver Whitecaps, Friday night. It's a game you can also catch on the Cube. Eddie Robinson, myself, and Cindy Bourbano. We'll take a break. Back in a moment.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, this is glam. See, this is a category called glam rock. Sweet. Fox on the Run. By the way, they were stealing this down at BBVA Compass Stadium. I've been playing this for years. They must be listening to the show. You got to love it. Eddie Robinson in studio. Victor Ariza in here as well, as we welcome you back. All right, let's get to Carl Robinson, the manager of Vancouver. Get a couple minutes on him. I'm going to get your reaction, Eddie, and then we're going to talk about something that could happen with Liga MX and MLS. All right, here's Carl Robinson, Vancouver Whitecaps manager. All right, so Vancouver Whitecaps coming to town, and no better guy to talk to than their manager, Carl Robinson. He joins us now. Carl, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
No, thanks for having me.
So I just want to lead you into you've won two games on the road, which is a lot to say, because this does not come easy in Major League Soccer. You as a former player, now as a manager, know this. I thought your two wins, the one against Montreal on the road and then the one against Colorado on the road, I thought you achieved those wins in differing ways. Am I on the right path there?
No, I think that's a fair assessment. I think both games, very difficult games. We all know that Major League Soccer is very difficult to win on the road, as the history has suggested. And this season shows no difference either. But you've got to find ways to win. In Montreal, we played very well, controlled the game, but went a goal behind, but managed to stay in the game and score a quick equalizer, and then, you know, weathered a little bit of a storm in the second half, and then got the winner towards the end of the game. And obviously in Colorado, in a place where we never won before, we know it's difficult. We know it's altitude. We know, you know, they're used to the conditions. But, you know, the focus was stay in the game as well. And we managed to grind out another victory in a different type of manner.
With your history as a pro over in England, here in the U.S. and in Major League Soccer, you've been an assistant. You've really done it all. How much of the road is mental?
It is mental. You know, I have to be honest with that, but it is easier to win in Europe on the road than it is to win here, because there's a number of factors that go into it. Obviously, we know the travel, you know, east to west is very, very difficult. Then you've got the conditions, then you've got the altitude, then you've got the turf. So there's certain dynamics that totally change when you go on the road. So it is a lot harder to win. I think what you set yourself targets at the start of the season, and I'm sure every coach is exactly the same and no different, but you have to try and attack away games. You know, in my first year as a head coach, you know, we'd done very well on the road, but we drew too many games, and I just thought, you know, it's better to win two or three games rather than draw five or draw six and say you're unbeaten, but get less points. So that's the mitigating factor that I try to look at when I go on away from home.
So essentially, and this is really refreshing, I love hearing you say that. So essentially, you're saying we're going to be a little bit braver on the road. We're going to try to win games.
Yes, I think we are. And I think that showed last week. You know, we never won in Colorado, and everyone kept reminding me, and it was sort of winding me up a little bit, because records are there to be broken in sports, and they're great when they do. And you know, we haven't had a good record there because we haven't won a game in 7 years of being in Major League Soccer. So, you know, when people keep reminding you, you know, sometimes you want to just tell them to be quiet, but you can't. So I said to the guys, eventually it will come. this is our chance. You know, the next game is the most important one. And after an hour play, you know, we were 0-0 and we'd never been in that situation before. And, you know, I could have said, right, okay, we'll shut up shop and try and get a point. But I made three attacking substitutions. And obviously one of the substitutions in Breck Shea come on and scored the winner from a pass from one of the other attacking substitutions. It worked on Friday night. You know, other times it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, you're open to criticism from the analysts and the experts, and so be it. But when it does work, it feels nice.
All right, so that interview, and this gets even more interesting, but since I have Eddie in studio, we're going to close out with Eddie, and I want to get some of his thoughts on Carl Robinson. That entire interview is going to be up on podcastarena.com with hour one and hour two, and it'll be up pretty quickly after the show tonight. So, Eddie, what do you take out of that interview with Carl Robinson? I thought it was very interesting.
Listen, for the disagreements and what we thought of each other on the field when we played against each other, this is a person that I have a lot of respect for, and I respect the way that he approaches these away games. And you know, you wish a lot of more coaches in this league would, because I think they would be more successful instead of going in and trying to change the tactics that make you so successful at home. Changing something up and trying to be successful on the road, go for it. It works. He's the perfect example. I think it's a fantastic example for the rest of the coaches in the league, and I think they can learn something from him.
So based on that little bit you heard there and his wanting to win games on the road, mm-hmm. I actually loved when he says, I don't want to accumulate a bunch of ties mm-hmm. and say I'm undefeated on the road. I hate the tie in Major yeah. League Soccer, quite frankly. I hate it. I think you're not winning games. If we looked at some of the records of some of the coaches, how many games they've won in relation to how many they've lost or drawn, we would all be pretty stunned, quite frankly.
Right.
You're not winning those games. So to hear a manager do that in this day and age is a good thing.
Yes, it's a very good thing. But you got to listen to also what he said about how much easier it is to win in Europe because you're not traveling to different altitudes. You're not traveling.
I did listen to that.
From, you know, 40 degrees Fahrenheit to 120 degrees Fahrenheit if you're going from Vancouver to Houston or Vancouver to Orlando, the 6 hours if you're flying from San Jose to Foxborough. There are so many different things. So, yes, I agree. But in Major League Soccer, ties aren't so bad if you can get a few of them and win your games at home. But, as I said, and you said, it's refreshing to hear a coach want to go after it and win games on the road. I wish more coaches in this league did that.
I think some people are psyching themselves out. Look, yeah, Dallas is undefeated in 4 road games. You could win on the road. There's a bunch of teams right now that have 2 and 3 wins. Somebody's figuring it out. Maybe some are just better than others at winning on the road.
Well, look at their tactics. How do they play at home versus how do they play away? Is it the same? Do their coaches say, we're doing the same thing we're going to do. We're going to beat you the way we win games. If we don't, okay, that's fair. You've outcoached us and we'll change our tactics next time. I think a lot of coaches try to change tactics. I think they try too hard when they go on the road instead of sticking with what works.
Overthink it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's put that in relation to the Dynamo on the road. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to, hey, why not start out like you did in Portland? 4-3-3 with energy, with excitement. Obviously, it seems like the players like playing in the 4-3-3 system better.
Of course they do. And that's the thing, that with the game against Toronto, I just could not believe that the Dynamo were playing with 5 across the back. It just didn't make any sense to me, knowing what the strengths are of Toronto. Now, Wilmer Cabrera has said this is a work in progress, but I feel like he knows his players. Stick with what works. If you have to make small, minute changes to one player or another player of how they play against the specific defender or attacker, do that. But overall, don't change it so much. Get your players into a situation where they develop chemistry. You've got guys that are healthy now. Use that and take advantage of that.
All right, Dynamo Vancouver Friday night. We're just reminding you they are it's a rare – well, I don't know if it's rare. It's a Friday night game. I like the Friday night games.
I do, too. I do, too. I think the fans like it. I mean, everybody can get up now, and we can watch the our other opponents in Major League Soccer on Saturday. We can watch the Premier League. Obviously, we saw our Champions League games this week. There's a lot to be done on the weekend. But, yeah, come on out Friday night. It's going to be fun. I mean, I think Vancouver sets up kind of like Orlando did. I don't think Vancouver will be as careless as Orlando was, but I think the Dynamo are going to have the opportunities.
All right, last plug here tonight, Friday, June 16th, Sportsman's Dinner, Norman Whiteside, Manchester United, Bobby Tambling of Chelsea, dinner, raffle, auction. We're trying to stick our hearts out here to get you involved in this. 281-812-4805, Facebook group / Houston Red Army. This is all for the 501c charity, Curing Children's Cancer Fund, cccfund.org. Doubletree downtown. It's a full meal. It's a great night of soccer stories. For Eddie Robinson in studio, Ramel Kyoto, Carl Robinson, we thank him. Tyler Scott, we say goodnight. Thank you very much for tuning in to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Catch it on podcastarena.com.
ESPN 97.5.